Recently on RNIB Connect Radio, we've been talking a great deal about audio description on our shows, on our Facebook and Twitter pages. It's quite a debate, and when you consider the importance of audio description, it really opens up everything from TV to cinema to theatre, galleries, visitor attractions, and it can be delivered in many different ways. And basically, the audio description is a narrative which is given, and if we were to take theatre or TV or cinema as an example, in between the actor's dialogue, the narrator will tell the person basically what's happening on stage or on screen, what the people are doing, what the sets are like, what's happening, and it really levels the playing field, if you like. And RNIB are carrying out some further research into audio description. Now, to tell us more, we have Ahmed Al-Talibani. Is this a very particular piece of research?
Yep. So as you mentioned, audio description mainly is describing the actions between the dialogues so that the listener and the watcher of the movie can get an idea, a better idea of what is going on in the scenes on the TV. So part of my research, I will be working at RNIB as a research intern for 3 months. And we are trying to do a piece of research about exploring blind and partially sighted people preferences for access to digital TV systems, so that we use this piece of research as a guideline, which is a people-led piece of document, and it can be used as a guideline for service providers and designers, and they can use it to improve their design, their services, so that it will be more accessible, more pleasant, and better for blind and partially sighted people. Things like the accessibility to the interface, which is the main concern in our research. So how actually the user can use the interface to get to the content what they like. For example, a person wants to search for a program with audio description. So now this might be a nightmare on some systems and on other TV systems. It might be quite easy to search for a program with audio description. So we are particularly looking at the interface accessibility. So here we want to explore the user preferences to how the interface could be to make life much easier in terms of accessing the content on the TV.
So when you talk about the interface, is this almost like an EPG or electronic program guide, which many people can bring up on the TV to show what's on what channel?
Yep, so EPG actually is one of the key elements, part of the interface. So as we can know, for example, the Panasonic TV, which has the talking EPG, which is quite good, but actually we want to explore the user preferences of actually how this works, because even the TV designers and manufacturers wants to hear back from the users actually how the current systems work and how it might be better and what's going okay and what's going wrong with the system. So that's what we want to explore in our research.
That's good that the manufacturers are actually asking, you know, like Panasonic and Samsung, they actually want to know what people want, what's good, what's bad, what can make things easier. And I suppose when you consider, you know, we're an aging population as well, and you know that sight loss numbers are set to increase, manufacturers should really look to make their products, you know, across the board more accessible.
Yeah, that's correct. So the companies like to make their product accessible, but they have other things to consider as well. For example, they want to make it accessible, but while they keep the cost at minimum and they make sure that they have the resources to make it accessible. But on the other side, they would like to explore whether there are enough people who are watching this, using these accessible services, so that they are encouraged to make it more accessible and better.
And that's an important point, Ahmed. It's about how many people want this service. So we really need as many people as possible to feed back. Because if the manufacturers think, well, there isn't really a market for it, they're not going to improve services, are they?
Yeah, that's correct. So they usually, when you provide a report or a piece of research, or as RNIB, for example, we say, these are the feedback from the user. So the first thing they would like to see is the number of people who actually participated in the research. So if there are considerable number then they will think, yeah, okay, we have to do something about this, because there are people who are actually looking at our services and they want it to be more accessible and better. So exactly enough people to consider their feedback is really important.
So about the research itself, Ahmed, how do people get involved? What kind of things are you looking for them to do?
So first, to consider the output. So the output of the research will be a report. We are aiming to produce a piece of report which is includes rich data out of the interviews on the RNIB website. So it can be used as a guideline for the designers and manufacturers. So when they are approaching RNIB, we can show them this piece of document. Here we go. These are the actual users' feedback and comments. So please make your services better and more accessible using that report as your main guideline. So people actually can contact me through my mobile number and my email address as well. Then that will be brilliant, and I will be able to participate them in the interviews, and then they can have a great impact in the report.
Is there a deadline for the researcher for people to get in touch?
Yep, so that's a great question. I am aiming to run the research in October, and maybe if we have enough participants, then we go to early November as well.
And if people would like to get in touch, Ahmed, how do they do that?
Okay, so the first thing and the easiest one is the mobile number, so they can contact me through my RNIB mobile number, which is 07703099324. And the second contact address, which is my email, ifor@rnib.org.uk.
Always important to get the details correct, Ahmed, to get more people and as many people as possible, in fact, involved in the research. Good luck with that, and thank you for telling us all about it on RNIB Connect Radio.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we hope that we improve services for blind and partially sighted people and make their life much better.